The altars are open. Don't wait. Come. The Spirit of the Lord is in this place, and He desires to meet you here at the altar. You have needs, you have hurts, you have pains, you have situations, you have bondages, you need Jesus. This is the place. The altar is open. Don't come waiting for a man or a woman to lay hands on you. This is meet with the Lord time. You can kneel, you can lay down, you can do whatever is necessary. The altar is open. Your Father is waiting for you. The altar is open. You have needs. Come. The altar is open. The altar is open. There is liberty at this altar. There is freedom at this altar. There is liberty and freedom. There is no condemnation at this altar. There is the love of your Father, the love of God to set you free, the love of God to receive you, the love of God. The love of God is here. Maharekishitia rokombo satarabaka. Mendenomoko babasitia rokomba basatarabaka. Denemoko tarabashitia rokomba basata. Momositia rokomba. On behalf of your people, Father, I say, God, God, receive, receive, receive our humility, receive, receive our brokenness, receive, receive our hunger for you. We thought it was things that we needed. We thought it was people that we needed. We thought it was relationships that we needed. We thought it was a whole lot of stuff that we needed. But what we had need of, the cry of our heart, is you, Father God. Sereshitia rokombo bosata rabaka. Mama masete rebeki shikia rokomba basata ya. Nenamoko rabashata rabasiti de borrabaka. Nenemoko rabaka satarabaka. Serebeki shita de borrabaka. The Spirit of the Lord is setting people free. I said the Spirit of the Lord is setting people free. Free in their mind. Free to think the God kind of thoughts. Free in their ears to hear the Spirit of the Lord clearly. The Spirit of the Lord is setting people free. Free from addictions, free from bondages, free from lies, free from demonic influence. The Spirit of the Lord is here setting people free. Mahare keshitia rokondarala basata. Mende de boshita de borrabaka babasata la bakasata. Rende de boshitia rokombo basata rabaka. Mama, 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 satara bakitia.
Yeah.
I am the Lord and I change not. This is my house. These are my people. I don't want you to think that everything is going to be the same always. This is a new day. You're going in a new way. And when I decide to move, you move with me. There is nothing wrong. Nobody has missed anything. But what the need of the people is, it's what you have come together for. We don't have to wait for a special time. There is no special time. When you sense, when the minister sense, when those in this house I am moving through and in, sense I am ready to move, that's the time for ministry to happen. New day, new way. What I have begun, you will see the fruit of. And there are people here who expect only the ministers to be used. But I am moving, and you need to be aware and sensitive to the Holy Spirit, because you're the ones that I'm moving on. It's going to take a house to take a city. Five people can't take the city. Pastor Richard and Pastor Michelle can't take the city. They are to prepare you. Be ready to move. You have elders here who can help you, but you need to open yourself to the move of the Spirit. You're in your house. You can make a mistake here. Just be open to the Spirit. It's not going to be the same way anymore. You're going to have to listen, and you're going to have to be in prayer to know what the Spirit is doing. You're the ones that He has to move through. Open yourself.
Hallelujah. You may be seated. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your flow, Lord. Thank you for your flow. Hallelujah. 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 Brother Damon, what are we having? All right. All clear. No announcements today, this evening. Brother Steve?
Good evening, church family. Ushers are coming before you to distribute offering envelopes as I come before you to encourage you to ratify your covenant once again in the area of tithes and offerings. Brian, I was wondering if you sneaked a peek at my green tab in my Bible today. I'm in Job chapter 42. And Job answered the Lord and said, "You know that you can, I know you can do all things, and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. And who is this that hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore, I have declared what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me which I did not know. Hear now, and I will speak. I will ask you, and you will instruct me. I have heard of you by my hearing of my ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore, I retract and I repent in dust and ashes." That's the first six verses. Then God admonishes Eliphaz and says, "My wrath is kindled against you and your two friends because you have not spoken of me what is right as my servant Job has done. Therefore, take for yourself seven bulls and seven rams and go to my servant Job and offer up a burnt sacrifice for yourselves, and my servant Job will pray for you, and I will accept him so that I may not do with you according to your folly, because you have not done what you have not spoken of me what is right as my servant Job has." And so Eliphaz and Bildad and Zophar went and did as the Lord told them, and the Lord accepted Job. This is where I wanted to get. That's what God wanted me to say this afternoon. And Job and the Lord restored the fortunes of Job when he prayed for his friends. The Lord restored the fortunes of Job when he prayed for his friends. The Lord restored the fortunes of Job when he prayed for his friends, and the Lord increased all that Job had twofold. And all his brothers and all his sisters and all who had known him came to him, and they ate bread with him in his house. And they consoled him and comforted him for all the adversities that the Lord had brought upon him. And he gave, and each one gave him one piece of money and a ring of gold. And the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than in his beginning. And he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 female donkeys. And he had 7 sons and 3 daughters. Verse 1, Job was an upright, blameless, fearing God, shunning and turning away from evil. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters, and his possessions were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 female donkeys. Literally, everything that he was recorded as owning in Job chapter 1 was literally doubled in Job chapter 42. He realized through his trials and his tribulations that he had spoken wrongly, and he repented. The three friends never did. And God respected him for having repented, fallen down, and got back up. And says, okay, if you three want to get covered, then you got to go see him because he knows what's going on. And when Job prayed for his brothers, his friends, then God was able to bless him and literally brought him to the point to where it says, and his latter days were greater than his former days. Who are you covering? Who are you protecting? Who do you know that's fallen down and needs a hand up? Who can you protect and who can you help back onto the right path? If you will do these things, then you'll open the door for God to be able to bless you. So if you're watching online, please click on the online sewing button on our homepage or click on the link in our YouTube video or Facebook feed, and you can get to that online sewing page. You can give a check via the mail, P.O. Box 140-345, Austin, Texas, 78714. But it's not just a matter of giving. It's a matter of faith. If you will give in faith, God will bless you. And if you will cover your friends, your family, and your brothers and sisters in Christ, God can bless you.
Who am I?
Father, we worship you in the tithe and the offering tonight, Lord. You have taken care of us. You have supplied our need, Father, and we bring out of our house that portion which is yours, Father, the tithe, the first tenth of our increase. We honor you with it, Father. And we thank you that the windows of heaven are open and your blessings, Lord, are overtaking us, Father. And we bring offerings tonight, knowing that as we give, according to your word, it is given unto us, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, Father. You see to it that as we give, Father, we receive, to give again and receive again, to give again and receive again, that we always have harvest and overflow on the horizon, Lord. Thank you, Father.
Amen. Thank you for your giving. For all of you online who participated in the tithe and offering, we thank you as well. God bless you. Well, God is good. So is Michelle. So open your hearts and receive the word of the Lord.
I don't know about y'all, but I'm ready to hear some Brother John, some Brother Brian, some Brother Damon, some Brother Richard, some more from these men of God. Amen. I think they ought to just have a tag team sometime. We'll just bring a sack lunch and just see what they've got. I know there's so much wisdom in them, so much of the Word of God. But tonight you got me. Something that God has been speaking to me about for a few weeks now that I'm going to share. It's a little different from the notes that I would usually teach. I would say it's not really normally what I would do, but I haven't seen normal in so long. How many of you feel like you don't even know what normal is? Everything is just different, and it just keeps getting differenter and differenter. Is that a word? Can we use that? Differenter and differenter every day. But God is good. He is faithful. And a lot of the new is better. Amen? Any of you found some better new? Some of the different is, oh, okay, this is not so bad. So God is showing us some new ways. There's some stuff to deal with. There's some different that, no, you're not going to stay. But we are welcoming God's ways and learning how to adapt and see where he's taking us, where he's leading us. Amen. This could be a short one tonight. I've only got about 4 pages of notes. Usually I have 7 or 8, so just, you know, for comparison, just so you know, it's really large type. But I don't believe that it has to be long. I don't believe that it has to be short. I believe that it has to be what God says, and no less and no more. Amen. So, praise God. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come into your house tonight with our brothers and sisters. God, we thank you for your presence that met us here, that was already in us, Father, and that joined us together in praising and worshiping you. Father, I thank you tonight that hearts have been changed, hearts in this sanctuary, hearts that are watching, Father, by live stream or watching this at a later time. Father, they have met you here and had an encounter with you. And Father, you have changed, you have encouraged, you have comforted, you have strengthened and instructed your people. And Father, we are grateful. And we thank you that the change even that has begun in us tonight will continue. Father, as we grow, as we do go deeper and deeper in you. Father, I thank you for your word that transforms us, that transforms our mind, so that we think as you think, Father, so that we can live as our Redeemer lived. Father, teach us your word tonight by your Holy Spirit. We draw on your anointing to hear what we need to hear. Father, that I would say what needs to be said, no less and no more. Father, we submit this time to you. We purpose to look to you, to listen to you, and to rejoice in you as we go from here, knowing that we have been with the Lord. Thank you, Father. And all who agree said, amen. Amen. So I want to talk about a subject tonight about ruling, reigning in Christ, in God. We'll talk about that. Just to give a little foundation, Romans 5:17 says, "For if because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one, much more surely will those who receive God's overflowing grace and the free gift of righteousness reign as kings in life through the one man, Jesus Christ, the anointed one." So because of, you know, God originally put man in the earth and he gave him dominion. He said, have dominion over every living creature, over the trees, over everything. You are, in essence, reigning under the authority of God in the earth, Adam and Eve. He gave that to man, but when they yielded to another authority, when they took the bait, if you will, and did something other than what God said, they submitted themselves to another authority and gave that authority rule and reign in the earth. So that caused the issues that we have, but Jesus came and redeemed us. He got back the keys to death, hell, and the grave, the keys to the kingdom, gave authority back to his man. And so through him, just like through Adam, death reigned, sin, the enemy, then through Jesus, we reign now in the earth. So we understand that that's what we have been called to. Luke 10:19, Jesus is talking. He says, talking to his disciples, "Listen carefully, I've given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and the ability to exercise authority over all the power of the enemy. And nothing will in any way harm you." So we've been given dominion over the earth and we've been given authority over the enemy. He hasn't been completely wiped out and eradicated. He's been stripped of his power, except for those who don't know that. And he is able to deceive and work his way into situations. But for believers, we understand that we've been given authority over his power and what he can do. Amen? So we are able to rule and reign in this life. But we're going to talk about two different ways of conducting our lives. You know, as we go and as we grow in Christ, if we submit to the process, things are refined. We learn that we love Jesus and we trust Jesus. And then you go through stuff. And then you get to question yourself, do I really? And then you go a little deeper. You know that how the process goes, and you think you couldn't love him anymore, and then things happen, and he rescues you again. And you get up again, and he's right there, and you're not kicked out. Your love grows deeper. So as we go, these processes are refined, and ruling and reigning is like that. You learn as you go. You think you've got all your ducks in a row, as it were, and then suddenly you realize, uh-oh, there's a little corner over there that I haven't gotten to yet. So it's a process as we go, but I want to talk about something that's a play on words, and I wish I'd had the opportunity to get some things put up on the PowerPoint or something, because what I'm talking about tonight is a play on words. It's something that God just sort of flashed in my mind a few weeks ago. And he said, there's reigning in God, R-E-I-G-N, with a G in it, that's God. That is to reign, to rule and to reign. Or there's reigning in, R-E-I-N, like reigns, like you hold the reins, you're in charge, you're driving. So my question to you tonight is, are you reigning in God or are you reigning in God? Okay? When you talk about to reign in, that phrase is a thing in itself. The definition is to limit or control someone or something. For instance, and I love this example, it says Congress must rein in spending. Or another way to use it, you had better rein in that kid before she gets hurt. Another definition, the rein, R-E-I-N, as a noun, is actually the leather strap, you know, that you see on the horses that you use the reins. And it's to make an animal stop or control them by using reins, the rider reined in his horse. So when you talk about reigning in God, R-E-I-G-N, that is to possess or exercise power or authority, to rule. So there are two different ways that we can conduct our lives as believers. You know, this is not a message to unbelievers. This is a message to believers. Are we truly reigning, or are we reigning God in by our own desires, by our own will? So I just have some thoughts on that. I don't have a big line upon line teaching, just some thoughts comparing the difference between reigning in God and reigning in God. First of all, I would like to say, some of you may remember a bumper sticker that a lot of people had on their cars that said, God is my co-pilot. Do y'all remember those? Not a good place. No. There's no co with God, okay? Now, we are co-laborers with Christ, but when it comes to directing our life, when it comes to the rule, there is only one God, and He is in charge. And I don't want my hands anywhere on that wheel, okay? Let Him be in control. He reigns, and then through Him, we carry that out in the earth. So getting the right perspective on that is not, you know, me and Jesus got our own thing going. We're going to do this. No, it's Him. He's the King. He's the Lord, and I'm submitted. So understanding that gives us a better perspective. When we talk about ruling and reigning, we're not talking about ourselves necessarily in charge. But because we're under authority, we're in authority. So we'll talk about that a little bit more. But a difference between reigning, ruling and reigning in God, and taking control and reigning in God. When you reign in God's authority, you seek His heart in prayer. God, what is Your plan? What is Your desire? What is it that You want? I want my heart to line up with You. Psalms 86:11 says, teach me Your way, O Lord, that I may walk and live in Your truth. Direct and unite my heart. It's an interesting phrase. Unite my heart. You know, James says a double-minded man is unstable. You've got to make a decision. This is the way we're going to go. And God, search my heart, and if there's anything in me that's trying to pull the reins the other way, unite my heart under You to fear and honor Your name. But those who would take the reins are seeking His hand in manifestation. What they want to see. I want His hand to do my will. Matthew 16:4 says, a wicked and morally unfaithful generation craves a sign. You're looking for something that you want to see. We have to be careful with that. You have to be careful with that. If you just demand to God that I want to see angels, the enemy will make sure you get an answer to that question if it's not in God's plan right now. God is not to be ordered around. He needs us submitted to what He wants. So many times, I can remember when I was very young, a book that my mom had by Charles Schulz. It was about Christianity, actually, but he had illustrated it with cartoons and little kids sitting in a pew in the church, and he asked his friend, what are you doing? And his friend's flipping through the book. He said, I'm trying to find a scripture to fit my preconceived idea. I know there's something in here that's going to say what I want. And I can remember pondering that as a very young child. I had to look up preconceived because I loved the dictionary, so I did. And realizing that it's not about what I want and the way that I think it should be. Okay, now we're going to get some more clarity on that as we go. But we're not seeking Him to do what we want. He's not a genie in a lamp. He's not a, I want money, so I'm going to name it and claim it and blah, 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 blah. You know, the intention, the heart of the law. What was this meant to cover? Those things need to be understood. If we are reigning properly in God's authority, it starts with His word. Anything that He has said, that is what we are able to call in, speak into existence, call things that are not as though they were, because God said, I've provided healing for you. I have a right to call in my healing. And if you will get this straight, this will answer a lot of questions for you. Because a lot of people think, well, I just don't know if it's God's will, and what if he doesn't want me well? Or that's a selfish thing. You're being selfish by wanting to be blessed, by wanting to, I don't know, have money. You're being selfish by wanting to feel better. Who are you, after all, to think that you should feel better than the next person? Let's turn that just a little bit, okay? If you would understand that your Heavenly Father gave his Son so that you could have healing, it's what he wants. It's not about what I want. Because I will tell you what, I did not like going to work. And if I had the slightest sign of a cold, oh, I got to stay home. And then when I realized that I was giving up something that Jesus died for me to have, I couldn't do that anymore. Because it wasn't about what I wanted anymore. It's about what he wants. So it starts with his word. But if you are trying to hold the reins, it starts with your preconceived idea. What do I think? How do I want to build my life, and let me ask God to put his blessing on it? That's not how that works. That's not how any of this works. We've got to do it his way. Amen? I'm trying not to get off on rabbit trails as I go, because I believe the heart of all of it's going to be covered as I go through. So if I pause and look at my notes, I'm trying to focus. His will governs, and I follow. We pray, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done. We follow what he says. When we look at the laws of the land, the Constitution guarantees rights and protections, and then legislation determines how those things are carried out, and then we have police officers and justices who enforce those things, but it has to be in the law. That's what has to drive it. The policeman can't just say, I don't like the way you look today, and arrest you. Now, if they go rogue, they can try it, but you would hire an advocate who would say, that's not lawful, and it would be thrown out, because it has to be what is already in his will, what he has said. When we are trying to reign in God, it's about my control and my will leads. I direct and I drive. And you know, sometimes we don't realize we're doing that. And that's why I say, as we go and learn and grow, that process is refined in us. And we realize that we have expectations of things around us that is not really our right to expect. That's a hard place to be sometimes, to realize that you thought you were doing so good, and all of a sudden God says, can we deal with this today? We have to give up those things. You have to be willing to do it his way in order to be one who would rule. God's rule through us comes through our submission to him, our humility. It requires listening. Because God may say, I want you blessed. And now you've got to decide, does that mean I need to go get a second job? Does that mean that I should give more and expect harvest? Does that mean I should go buy a lottery ticket? I see people every day praying over the lottery ticket. If that's not how God wants to bless you, we can't make a demand for that. Submission and humility require listening. He said, humble yourself, and then I will exalt you in due time. And of course, the opposite of that is pride that only sees itself. You know, the word says pride goes before destruction. I know it means basically the same thing, but sometimes it bothers me. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. sometimes one of those times maybe that we fell down is because we exalted what we wanted above what God wanted. Maybe we thought it was what God wanted, but we hadn't really listened. It was a good idea. We didn't really think it would be a problem, but we didn't really acknowledge Him in all of our ways. Putting ourselves first and what we think, well, I'm pretty smart. That's not really ruling and reigning through Him. Jesus prayed in the garden, "Not my will, but thine." You know, He poured His heart out. He said, "If there is another way, I am definitely open. Because I don't want to do this. But not my will, but yours." Have you ever prayed a prayer like that? "God, I don't really want to go down this road. I don't really want to do it this way. But if this is what you see happening, then I will." Trusting Him. Trusting Him. We see the opposite of that in Isaiah, where it talks about Lucifer. "I beheld Lucifer, and he said, I will ascend. I will sit in the throne on the sides of the north. I will ascend before the congregation. I will, I will, I will." Definitely went before a fall. Big time fall. In God's authority, we see Hannah praying in the Old Testament for a son. Desired that more than anything, poured her heart out to God and said, "I will give him back to you." And in God's timing and in God's plan, she had that son. By contrast, we see Abraham and Sarah. Well, I know what God wants to do. Maybe he just needs a little help. And then came Ishmael. And look at all the fun that we've had from that. When we try to help God outside of what he has said to do. But God, it's taking forever. How many of you have waited 25 or 30 years to see a promise of God? You know? some of us are still waiting. But it's trusting in him and doing it his way. That's the only way that's going to produce fruit that is good. That's the only way that's going to produce joy and peace in your life. It's the only way. There is no such thing as helping God. When we're reigning in his way, I like this one. Reigning in God is not loud or boastful. Reigning in, trying to do it your way, requires your voice to be heard above the others. Rest is equated with authority. Seated in heavenly places. I don't have to scream. I don't have to yell. I have authority. I was looking, when I was putting that together, I was thinking about Coach Tony Dungy. How many of you know who he is? Football coach in the NFL. He coached the Buccaneers and he coached the Colts. Led both teams to a lot of playoffs. Led the Colts to a Super Bowl win. If you've ever listened to him, he is not what you expect from an NFL coach. Most coaches are yelling and screaming. You see their veins popping out when they're on the sidelines. And he talks just like this to his players. He doesn't yell, he doesn't scream. And he was revered by everyone who worked with and for him because of that. Says that he first learned about being mild-mannered and respectful from his parents. Parents. What are we teaching our children? What are we teaching them about authority? One, two. If you don't hurry up and do that, I'm going to count to three. 2.5, 2.75. Or they're yelling because they've lost control. When you start having to yell, it's because you've lost control. I can remember when we did homeschool together and we talked about a principle of understanding being under authority, and there's blessing under authority. And we would tell the kids, get under an umbrella. Everybody that gets under an umbrella gets ice cream. Had umbrellas sitting around. Some of them heard and some of them didn't. And the ones that didn't, all of a sudden, hey, where's my ice cream? I was like, well, we gave you the instructions. We told you what to do. You're teaching them to respect authority. Obey the first time. When you're truly in authority, you don't have to create a ruckus. You don't have to make a fuss. There's no yelling or screaming. You don't have to get upset. I was not always that parent. I can remember the time that God told me, your children should never hear you yell again. That was one of those things that just like stopped me in my track. I was like, what? He said, if you are in authority, take your authority and use it graciously for instruction. And he taught me how to be calm, remain calm, teach my children, and be a blessing in that. But anyway, Tony Dungy would coach that way. He learned that from his parents. This article says, most players are accustomed to coaches who swear and yell a lot. Dungy told his players from the start, things wouldn't be that way in Tampa Bay. I said, this is the way I'm going to coach, and if you need to be yelled and screamed at, I can hire another coach to be the screaming coach. Other than that, I'm just going to tell you what we need to do. That quiet voice, but it speaks so much of authority, because he's not upset, he's not ruffled, he's maintaining his peace when he does that. And he has done a lot to mentor a lot of players. I love this. His methods for maximizing the potential of any individual, team, or organization: engage, educate, equip, encourage, empower, energize, and elevate. That's quite a task list. But one of his quotes in the book where he shares that, shares Mark 10:45, says, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Understanding that when we rule and reign, we reign over the enemy, we reign over the elements, we reign over the earth, but we don't reign over people. Even as kings and priests, we serve. Serving one another, that attitude of humility, that's what allows God's will, plan, and purpose to flow. It's when we're not getting in the way with our attitude and with the things that we would prefer to see, or getting frustrated. So when you hear parents yelling, know that they've lost their credibility and therefore their authority with their children, and they're hoping maybe for some fear. If I scream loud enough, we have all had to learn that. There's no judgment there. It's just that there is a better way. And God never screams at us. God is the supreme authority. And he's always able to get our attention and to show us what we need to do with grace and with mercy, but very surely. And that is the way that we reign. Reigning happens from an elevated place. Reigning in God in the right way happens from an elevated place. There is vision. Remember Abraham after he, you know, God said, get away from everybody, leave all of your relatives, and go to a place that I show you. And he said, okay, Lot, come on. So, you know, trouble ensued because it's not what God said. But if you notice in the scripture, after he separated from Lot, after they worked it out, Lot picked, of course, the best that he wanted, God said, now I want you to come out here and look. Lift up your eyes from the place where you are, and everything that you see, I will give you. He gave him a place of ruling and reigning by giving him a vision of what he could possess through that ruling and reigning, because he was willing to lay aside the excess, the things that he needed to get rid of. God gave him a vision from above. There had to be a view there. You know, when promotion comes, you see further. There's more territory to take. What do you see? What is God showing you? That's the territory that he's giving you to rule over. But we have to have that vision on the inside. And when we're trying to control things, that generally happens in the midst of the circumstances and in the fray. in the middle of things. You're trying to keep people happy. You're trying to get people out of the way. You're trying to make stuff happen. You're trying to order your day. You're trying and trying and trying and trying. And God, why is this not working? And he said, because you're not supposed to be running around down there. You're supposed to be seated in heavenly places, resting in me, letting me tell you one thing at a time, and then when you do it, it's going to be easy. Waiting is not always easy, because I wanted that on the list yesterday, God. But again, we go back to it's submission. You can't be under authority with your own list. And you can't be in authority in Christ unless you're under, submitted to his authority. When you are under authority, you have the full force of the law behind you. You know, the policeman stands out there basically with a little badge and a gun, but the force of the law is behind him. Backup is available at any second if he needs it, and will continue to be in Austin, I decree. We will not lack. Anybody agree? We will not lack for those badges and the protection that our city needs. But when you're under authority, you're operating with the powers that be on your side. When you're outside of authority, you are on your own. You got to figure it all out yourself. And what's my escape plan when it all goes wrong? Because I can't call for backup, because this one is not in the scope of the law, in the scope of what we are supposed to be doing. So when we stay under his authority, in the scope of what he's called us to do, we got backup. We're not standing out there. Psalm 23, song that we see, I am not alone. It is not me against the world, but it's the powers of heaven. Amen. Angels, the word of God, the Holy Spirit, all of those things working on our behalf. I want you to think about scripture in a little different way. Proverbs 29, verse 2. Talking about being under authority or outside of authority. It says, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked rule, the people mourn. I want you to think of that within yourself, within your own life. When you are ruling and reigning through his righteousness, right standing with him, accomplishing his purpose, there is peace. There may be some things that you want that you're having to wait on, but you will do it with peace and rest. When you're outside of authority, you're kind of touching a little bit on wickedness, outside the law, right? Doing things my own way. I know that I'm going to let God take care of this, but I can take care of this one. There's not going to be the rejoicing that you would have were you to do it through his rule, through his way, through alignment with him. There are going to be issues in your heart and in your life when you're not submitted to that authority. So when you find yourself in a troubling situation, back up and look and say, okay, did I approach this the way God would want me to, the way the word directs me to? Am I dealing with this person, with this situation, with integrity? With wisdom, did I seek God about it, or did I just go off on my own? Because when we just go off on our own, it produces that mourning. And we don't want to do that. We want to do it God's way. Amen? So, how are we ruling? Who is ruling? Reigning is resting. Reigning in God. Reigning his way is resting. God's word in your mouth equals your victory. You decree a thing, Job says, you decree a thing and it is established. Boundaries are established and clear. You understand what is yours and what is not. You understand what you're supposed to do with it and what you're not. And you can rest in that because you speak the word and the word accomplishes. You're not having to put your hand to something that is difficult. Now, if God says, go buy a lottery ticket, and he gives you the numbers, please, don't just sit there. But the resting is understanding that we're not struggling, we're not striving. If you are in charge with the reins, it's work. You have to fix things. You have to figure out how to make it work. You have to make it go right. You have to try to keep yourself happy. Have you ever tried to keep yourself happy? Whew. God said He would take care of us. Other people can't make you happy. Don't expect other people to make you happy. That's not in their garden. That's not their domain. It's up to you to go to God and find that peace and that joy. And then trying to keep other people happy. It's not your job to make somebody else happy. That'll take a lot of pressure off of your marriage. It's not your job to make your spouse happy. You're responsible for your own happiness. So see, when you understand the boundaries, what am I in charge of? What am I not in charge of? I can find peace. I can be concerned that maybe they're not happy with the fact that I want to go to church every time the doors are open and they don't want to go to church. But I'm going to be committed to God, and God, You be their help in this troubling time. I can't make them happy here because I'm committed to You first. But You know how to bring peace. Letting His rule take care of that person. They are not your domain. People are not our domain. Now we raise and we train our children. But these people are not our domain. They're His domain. That's where we get it confused. We want God to love them and we'll fix them. But the true way of the kingdom is that we have to love them and let God fix them. Amen? So ruling involves what we allow and what we do not allow. Romans 6:12 says, don't let sin reign in your mortal bodies. You make choices. The decision is up to you. You can choose to sin, but it's outside of His rule. There are consequences. Will you go to hell? No, we're not talking about eternal judgment. It's just not the best thing for you. Things are going to happen when you do things outside of what God wants us to do. When we allow something to happen that's outside of what He has said is allowable. Now, where do we find out what's allowable and what's not? Word of God. So it's important to understand the Word, to know what the Word of God says, just like it's important to know your rights. If you get arrested, if you know your rights, you're in a lot better position. Understanding what is yours, what's been given you, what you allow and what you don't allow. There are things that you allow to come in, joy and peace. I call you in because you've been given to me love, power, authority over the enemy. I have those things. Those are mine. Sickness and disease, unrest and confusion, not in my house. No, not in my house. Those are weeds that we are responsible for getting out. God said, I don't want this. This is not a part of my kingdom. But because He's given us the domain and the rule that we have here, we're the ones that have to choose to say yes or no to these things, what you allow and what you don't allow. If you allow confusion and frustration and depression to stay in your house, you're going against the rule of God. You're not properly taking care of your domain. So you need to look around. You have to get the weeds out of your garden. You're the one that has to choose what can stay and what can't. It's not about people. It's about attitudes and things that will try to come in. And they'll try to come through people, sometimes people in your home. But if it's your home, you've got the authority and you say no. So doing things His way. We've been seated in heavenly places with Christ. Gain the perspective. We used to have a little poster that said, keep looking down. It's like, keep looking down. You know, everybody says, keep looking up. It said, keep looking down. And at the bottom it says, you're seated in heavenly places with Christ. You should consider yourself in an elevated position over the fray, over the politics, over the pandemic, over any confusion, over the frustration that comes when all of your relatives get together. You are seated in heavenly places over these things, ruling over these things. You've been given the authority to allow or disallow into your heart, into your home, and into the place where you are. So it is our choice. So stop doing what isn't yours to do. Fixing people, trying to fix politics, unless you've been called there, trust me, you'll do a lot more good on your knees. Vote. Please vote. We have a responsibility. I don't believe it's just a right. It's a responsibility. Vote. Do not pull out of that political system. But if you want to spend all day arguing with the talking heads on the news, you're wasting a lot of time. And the enemy's very happy because you're very busy doing nothing. Take your authority in your prayer room. Call in righteous leadership. Call in wise leaders. Call in leaders who are led by God, whether they want to or not. You can get saved if you want to, but you are going to do what God says. Calling those things in. Stop striving. Stop working at succeeding, laying awake at night. How can I make that next $5,000? How can I get into a bigger house? How can I get this car paid off? How can I work out these things? How can I? You're carrying something that you're not supposed to be carrying. God has given you a way to deal with it. He said, give and it will be given unto you. He said, tithe and I'll cover your ground. He said, give offerings and I will bless you. And then he said, put your hand to what I show you to put it to, and the works of your hands will prosper. Bam. I can watch cartoons before I go to sleep. I don't have to worry about it anymore. Stop worrying about those things and start doing what is yours to do. Listen to God so that you can do it His way. Acknowledge Him in all of your ways. Obey Him. Seek wisdom. Anybody submitted a wisdom request lately? You know, it's just like putting in a work order for something. God says, if anybody needs some wisdom, all you have to do is ask. Just ask. Submit a wisdom request. I'm not sure, God, I know that I could do this, and I know that I could do that, but I don't know which one to do, so I need wisdom, because wisdom tells you what to do with what you know. So give me some wisdom so that I get it right the first time. And it's not the process of elimination every time something falls apart. Worship God, speak His word, and trust His plan. And when we let go of what we think we have to have, and we find out what He's given us, and we rest in His promise that He'll take care of it, and then we do what He says to do, then we can live peaceably. Then we can make a difference in other people's lives. Why aren't you worried about all of this? You have an answer for Him. So we want to be reigning in God. Amen? All right, that's all I have.
Praise God. Reigning in God, not reigning in God. I actually saw the notes beforehand, so I knew what she was talking about. But I'm not going to re-preach it. So, stand with me. Hallelujah. Father, we thank You for the word that we've heard. We thank You for Your Spirit. Holy Spirit, we thank You that You are our teacher, You are our guide, You are the one who brings us wisdom and shows us the ways of the Father's heart. I thank You that the words that we've heard tonight, Father, they ring in our ears, Father God, the truth of Your word, the truth of Your heart that You have given to us. Thank You, Father, that You are with us always and that You cause the authority that Jesus won on the cross and through the grave and through the resurrection I thank you that you have given that to us. And we choose to be good stewards of what you have laid before us. We celebrate you, Father God. We thank you that today, that because of the words that we heard, we are different than we were when we came in here, because your word always makes a difference. Your word always changes, rearranges, and makes right. So I thank you, Father, as we submit to your word, to your Holy Spirit, and to your will, that our lives are full of joy, peace, love, and all of the fruit of the Spirit that you have promised. We thank you for that, Father. Bless your name, Lord. Bless your name. Bless your name. Well, I call you blessed. I say, because you are taught of the Lord, great is your peace and undisturbed composure, that you have the mind of Christ. You hear his voice. You follow after him. Your spirit is in tune and in line with his spirit. The triune Godhead, the Trinity, lives inside of you and empowers you and gives you peace, gives you authority, gives you an expected end of good things, because God loves you. And you're surrounded with his favor, his goodness, and his love. You are blessed, and whom the Lord has blessed, none can curse. And the willing and the obedient eat the good of the land. Speaking of that, I'm kind of hungry, so you're dismissed. See the praise team tomorrow night.